generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring. Now we have a scripture reading. We'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through the end of the chapter. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation from God through the Spirit.
Hallelujah. You are the
I'll read you from 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21. And if you call the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here and fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the special kind of life, as of a land without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And through him, believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope in God. You're my own.
Thank you.
mind this child. Jesus, we're all here. Let's go ahead and stand for a minute.
How deep the waters are.
mind followed in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore sin in his body on the tree, that we might die.
Christ alone. In Christ alone, I will be found. He is my strength, my song. This beautifully in the song that we have this time. It's a wonderful story. A story of mercy, of grace, of love, of redemption, and forgiveness. The thing that makes this story so complete, as far as this thing about it, is his willingness to be our sacrifice. Direct your thoughts back just for a minute to one of the songs we just sang. First verse of How Deep the Father's Love. In that verse it says that he should give his only son to make a rich his treasure. What is a rich? A rich, by definition, is a despicable or contemptible person. That was me. That was you. This very great church is made up of people who were once despicable and contemptible, but have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But we're now trying our best to go to heaven by His grace and His love. Let's remember the sacrifice that we sang about and that we memorialize in this memorial service. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're humble at the thought of the life of your Son. We're humble at the thought and filled with gratitude for the love that He had for us, the love that you had for us, to send your only Son, that we may have a chance of reconciliation with you. And Father, we are thankful for those who have taken advantage of that and have committed their lives to you. Thank you, Father, that we have a memorial that we can memorialize His death, the body that hung on the cross. We thank you for this bread that represents that. In Christ's name we pray.
Father, we again come to you this morning to thank you for the blessings we have. Thank you for this opportunity to take of this fruit of the vine, this precious fruit of the blood of Calvary. Let us examine our hearts and be thankful for what he did to save us from the eternal damnation. Forgive us of our sins and we'll take us in the way of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. In just a few short verses, you have the story of Jesus. That Jesus is God. He was with God. And yet he left that place in heaven to come here. He humbled himself to become like man in the form of a bondservant. So that while he was here, although he deserved all the praise and adoration and service, he's the one that was doing the serving. He's the one that went from town to town, village to village, healing the sick. Going to the people that others wanted nothing to do with. Associating with sinners. Taking the rejected, the lame, the poor, the blind. He was the one doing the serving. And then it says that he was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That in the greatest act of service, he gave his life. He died so that you and I might live. He carried his obedience to the cross, knowing that his home was not here on earth, but was back in heaven with God. That one day every knee should bow to him and every tongue will confess his name. But all that was started by one verse in verse 5 that says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." That is, God is calling each and every one of us to be that same servant. To be in the likeness of Jesus. To humble ourselves. To live a life of service. To die. Maybe not physically. But as we look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, If any of you desires to come after me, let him take up his cross. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what he asks of us. We sang a song just a moment ago, and Dusty sang it, "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord?" The chorus of that part says, "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. I've never seen Jesus. I've never been able to physically see him right in front of me. I've never been able to, as Thomas wanted to do, touch him. Put my fingers in the holes of his hands. To see those wounds. To make sure he's real. I've never seen him physically with my eyes. But as we sang just a moment ago, he's here in plain view." Paul would write in the book of Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you know how I see Christ here today? And how we see Christ today? He's here in plain view because he's in each and every one of us. That those of us, as it says later in that same book in chapter 3, "As many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you and I have been baptized into Christ, Christ should be living in us. He's living in us. Sometimes all we have to do is, that song also suggested that Dusty sang a moment ago, is just open our eyes. He'll show it to you. Open our eyes and look around. Look at the person next to you. Jesus is there. He's in us, living. He has power and strength to serve. He's living because we've died. We've taken our cross and died at the waters of baptism. That even though he went to the death of the cross, God has highly exalted him. He's raised him back up to where you and I can proudly wear the name Christ. Because he's living in us. That's not all Paul said. He says, "Christ is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That means my life needs to reflect that of Christ. "Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view." He's not just living inside of us, but He is why we are living. He is the life that we live by faith. I want to ask you a question. Two questions, really. Is Jesus living in you? A lot of people view their faith as and their faith in God and Christ is something that they're not quite sure about. But when I hear the New Testament writers and those songs we sang today, we're sure, we should be sure, that Jesus is alive. And He's living in each and every single one of us. And if you haven't been baptized in the remission of your sins, you have to ask yourself, what's holding me back? What's holding me back from this moment right now? Taking that step, just as Jesus died on the cross, what's holding you back from dying in the waters of baptism, raising up a newness of life, and letting Jesus come alive in you? So that you can start living a life of service and of faith. But for those of us who have made that decision to be buried and to let Christ live in us, here's the second question. Can people see Jesus, our Lord? When they look at us, can they say, hey, He's right here in plain view? Because as Paul said, I live my life by faith. Matthew chapter 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and they may glorify your Father in heaven. Can people see our Father? Can people see our Savior and how we shine our light and how we live our life? People see Jesus when we worship Him like we just did this morning. People should see Jesus when we bow our heads in prayer, when we devote this hour and a half to praise and to worship. When we sing, when we open His Word, when we read those scriptures, people should see Jesus in us. People should see Jesus in us because we let the cares of the world at the door. We get to come here and we get to worship and be together with other people who are living for Jesus. But more importantly, when we walk out those doors, are people going to see Jesus? Are they going to see someone who loves Jesus and has been crucified with Him? Are they going to see somebody who treats other people like Jesus did, with kindness, with love, with respect, and compassion? Can our neighbors see Jesus when we talk to them? Are we serving people like Jesus served people? Are we reaching out to the lost of this world, the sinners, the lame, the blind, the broken? That's what Jesus did. Are we walking out of this building, not checking our faith at the door and saying, we'll be back on Wednesday, or we'll be back later tonight, or next week? Or are we walking out that door and saying, this is just the beginning? Because it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, that's out there beyond these walls, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That this mind will also be in me that was in Christ Jesus. That we're going to leave the comforts. He left the comforts of heaven. We're going to leave the comforts of this building. We're with people that think the same way we think and believe the same things we believe. And we're going to go out there and we're going to serve. And we're going to be humbled and take on the form of a bondservant. Because we want people to see Jesus. We want to tell people the story of Jesus by our lives. Not because we want to bring glory to ourselves or to the very mystery church of Christ, but because we want to bring glory to God. And we want to bring lost sinners home. So be ready to go tell the story of Jesus. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. He's in all 208 people that are here this morning. He's in the innocence of these children. He's in the wisdom of our elderly. He's in the joy and excitement of our young and middle aged. He was in our praise. He's in our worship. He's in each one of us living. Because death could not hold him. Are you ready to give your life to this Jesus? Some of you need to make that decision. Come forward and be baptized this moment, because we're not promised any other moment besides right now. And you need to give your life to Him so that you can be promised the eternal glories of heaven. So that you can start living for Jesus. Living your life of flesh by faith. Maybe you've already made that decision. Maybe you've already given your life to Him and you need to fix some things. You need to work on some things. You need forgiveness. You just need help. Can I tell you one of the greatest ways that we see Jesus? Is when someone comes forward or someone just sits there during the song and says, I need forgiveness. Because isn't that why Jesus came? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So that those who believe in Him might have everlasting life. He came to forgive and give life. And if you need that forgiveness, you need to start that life over with life over and say, from now on, I want people to see Jesus living in me. Now's the time to do that. Now is the time to make things right, to get going. And let all of the congregation, let the light of Jesus be seen. Let's go tell the story of Jesus. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sit.
Over all the earth, You reign on high. Every mountain.